This next speaker is a member of our group and has been for several years. And even though he and I share the same last name, we are still looking for our where our family tree comes together. But that doesn't matter because in my heart, Tony's my brother. And I love him. And I want him to know that what he has to say and what he has to stand for makes a big difference in my life. And it's my pleasure to introduce Tony to you tonight as our second speaker. So let's give Tony a round of applause.
You didn't have to do that. You might have me blubbering up here. That's right. We did that, didn't we? See if I can get this thing straightened out here. Okay, my name's Tony McCurry, as we've done announced a few times. I've been blessed by prayer. I had an accident 9 weeks ago. I'm starting. 9 weeks ago today. And through y'all's prayers, my hand's working fine. But, you know, the Lord's good to all of us. And I kind of got mad at Ronnie when he made the line up. And last year I followed artists, and he had the body members so full of love I couldn't say nothing wrong. This year he got me lined up with Mike, who spread the truth so wonderful, so seriously, because it is. But I've been working on a little something. It's pretty elementary to all of y'all, but to some people it's not. When we look at the Word, there are several places in Scripture where the Word is a piece of paper that's given to someone. In Jeremiah, he was given a piece of paper and he ate it. And it was sweet to his stomach. In the Revelation, the word was, the book, the Biblios book was given to an angel and he ate it. And it was sweet. But it was also bitter when it got to his stomach. So I kind of got to thinking, we have religion today that has so many different beliefs that is not properly divided according to Scripture. But such as the Ten Commandments, laying on of hands, and such as that. We have people every day, every Sunday, that go to church and feels as though that's their Sabbath, the Sabbath, the holy Sabbath. But when you rightly divide the Word of God, you see that it's not. But back in February of last year, my mother came down with cancer. And my wife and I started doing some research and found out that the foods that we eat really does matter concerning our health. When we eat organic food, it has all the nourishments that the Lord meant for us to have. The sweetest grapefruit I had was at Phoenix, Arizona, because it came off of a tree. It was so sweet, it was like an orange. And I could eat them all day, and I did. Our tomatoes here, when they're in season, are the best tomatoes in the world, when we get them fresh from the garden. When we go to the grocery stores and buy organic foods, the purpose of that is to get the fruits and meats as pure as possible for the nourishment of our body. That's why we have so much cancer today, I think. Because we getting fruits that are coming from China and around the world that's picked green that hasn't even matured enough to get a decent vitamin source to it. But yet we're consuming it, and our bodies are not receiving the nourishment that they need, which leaves us weak and vulnerable. So my study that I did was basically the difference between an organic church. I know this is not scripture. The body of Christ is organic, people. We're pure. We're pure from the Lord, from the Word of God. And then you have a generic church. I used to, several years ago, I thought organic and generic was the same thing. When I see something organic, yeah, I want that. It's not as good as the original product. But it's not. So I just did a little something, like I said, it's kind of elementary to y'all, but to some people that's going to be hearing this later, it's not. Some of the things that I'm going to talk about, just briefly, just going to touch on it. Each one of these items can be a 2-hour study within itself to explain it in its proper content. Because I'm just touching on it. And it's something that's been bothering me, and I'm sure it bothers every one of y'all every Sunday or every time you hear someone talk of the Ten Commandments. A time when Moses delivered this to his people, it was the law. And it's still the law. If you study, if you live by the Ten Commandments, you're trying to live by a law that you cannot live by. But yet we have churches today, I'm going to say religion today, that post this in their front yards and they say the Ten Commandments is valid today. And they just totally override grace altogether. They try to intermingle grace and the law, and you can't do that. The Ten Commandments was in Matthew 5:17, no it wasn't. Let's see. Yeah, it was. In Matthew, let me start over with Romans 10:4, okay? For it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. In John it says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In Matthew 5:17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but fulfill the law. That was Christ that said those words. So Christ fulfilled the law, and I don't see why churches, religion today can't see that. When you rightly divide the Word of God, you can understand what belongs to what group of people. And then we go to the organic version of it, to Ephesians 2:15. Having abolished by His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. That's us, you know. We understand where the law is, we understand where grace is, and we understand where our Heavenly Father is. I had another one. I'm just going to name off a bunch of them right here. I'm going to touch on a few of them. But religion today, where it's different denominations, the Ten Commandments, the state of the dead, water baptism, forgiveness, for they pray constantly for forgiveness, believe in everlasting torment hell, believe in signs of different versions, whether it's healing, laying on of hands, tongues, snake handling, and communion is believed by some to be sacrificed to God. Church rituals, confessions, prophets are living today, according to them. Superstitions of giving blood, polygamy, and some even believe there's a God the Father and a Heavenly Mother. Where they get this, I have no idea. Most of them make their own scripture. But the scripture that I read from the Holy Bible is totally the opposite of that. Our Christ was on the earth and He walked, and we have a record of everything. I believe in my heart that the Lord did it all for us. Another one, going back to my original one, is the state of the dead. Is every funeral we attend, at one point they're going to say to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. That's just a total misuse of the Bible, taking it totally out of context. But we know it says, the Word says, we are confident and willing, I say, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That means, yeah, I would much rather be absent from the body and be present with the Lord, wouldn't we all? But that's not what it said. They're taking it out of context. Also, concerning the dead is sleep. I believe I'm a sleeper. Matthew 9:24, He said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but she sleepeth. And they laughed into scorn, referring to the maid was dead. In Mark 5:39, and when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeping. In Luke 8:52, and all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. In John 11:11, these things he said after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, and I may wake him out of his sleep. And in 12, then his disciple says, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. And Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, referring to their sleep. So I believe that I believe that when I die, I'm going to sleep as though when I sleep tonight, I'm going to wake up in the morning. There's not going to be a knowledge of time. For when we sleep in our living sleep, we have no knowledge of time. I feel as though when we die and we are asleep in Christ, whether it's 5 years or 1,000 years, we're going to awake to see our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, and be with Him in an instant. I don't understand how someone can say that he's going to be with the Lord 1 minute and 45 minutes later at the graveside preaching resurrection. I believe the power of my Heavenly Father and Lord Jesus will resurrect me at that day. Another one is water baptism. Mike did a wonderful description of what our belief is concerning water baptism. But a lot of your religions today will be baptizing people once a month for 5 months, I've heard people come in the barbershop that get baptized every time there's a baptism. They go and get wet. They get wet more than I do when I go scuba diving. I don't get wet that much. Washing of feet. And then forgiveness. I was at a point one time when I was also, every time I said a prayer, I asked the Lord for forgiveness for my sins. Not understanding that the Lord has already paid the price for my sins.
Amen. Amen.
He did it once and for all.
Yes.
But we still have religion today. Every time they pray, they ask forgiveness because they don't understand the truth in the Word that Christ paid the price one time for all. Hell. We all know that's one that you can talk on for a day and still not get it all out, because hell can be referred in many different ways, whether it's Sheol, grave, Hades, a place of torment for some. When we take Paul from what his message was on hell, it will be understood from what has been said that this will resolve itself into the question, what did Paul teach about hell? If we hold and teach without addition, subtraction, or alteration of any kind, exactly the same teaching on the subject as was taught by Paul, what can it matter what others may say of us? If to Paul, hell is a place of torment, then it will be so in our teaching. If to Paul it's a place of disembodiment, spirits that can never die, it will be so in our teaching. There are 12 different addresses given by Paul recorded in Acts, and including Hebrews. There are 14 epistles from his pen covering the whole range of gospel, doctrine, and practice for the present time. If the subject of hell but half as important as orthodoxy would have it to be, surely we shall expect to find at least 14 references to it in his epistles, and at least 12 in his addresses. This being a very low estimate of what a genuine zeal would demand. When we turn to scriptures, we find that in the whole of Paul's recorded ministry, the word hell, as a translation of Hades, occurs but once in the AV of 1 Corinthians 15:55. But the weight of evidence from the best Greek text definitely leans toward thanatos, death, rather than Hades. Hence the RV and all modern translations read, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? This means that Paul could give the whole of his faithful ministry without one reference to hellfire. Even if we accept the AV rendering, we note that the context is entirely devoted to the glorious theme of resurrection, and this emphasizes three things. That Hades and its Hebrew equivalent Sheol mean the grave. That the context shows that it means the grave. That the traditional hell had no place in the Apostles' Creed. So when you rightly divide the Word of God, you will see that there's no such thing as an everlasting burning torment hell. And this can be derived from several different ways when they look in the Old Testament scriptures of a village that they throw their carcasses in the pits and burn them, and they was eaten up of worms. And I think that's where today's religion is getting their everlasting torment hell. Another one is signs, and it's fairly broad. It's a laying on of hands, tongues and snake handling. Well, that's not a sign, that's just stupidity. But not only of snake handling, they drink poison, and they feel as though if their faith is not strong, it can hurt them. I'm sure a lot of them get hurt pretty bad. But as far as laying on of hands, before Acts 28, it happened very regular. It was a real thing. The apostles healed regularly. Just recorded what we have recorded in Scripture, I'm sure don't even add up to what really happened as far as the numbers of people that were healed. And I believe the last, I'm probably jumping over some stuff here. Have I got to baptism yet? Yep. See, I've got these notes and I hadn't even read them yet. This is driving me crazy, Ron. What I think the last recording healing in Acts 28:8, and it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of fever. This was after the shipwreck that Paul had, and Paul had his own snake handling experience, and the snake just fell off and died, and Paul was fine from it. But the father of Publius was a part of that tribe or people, and he lay sick of a fever of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. In the island, others came and were healed. That means there was a bunch of other people that were healed there. And an example where Paul has pretty much lost his power to heal is in Philippians 2:25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion and laborer and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore more cheerfully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all good gladness, and hold such in reputation, because the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. I believe that's an example where Paul just didn't have the power to heal. In Mark 16:17-18, this is where today's churches are getting their healing, snake handling. It says, "And these things shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Well, that's where religion today gets their reference to healing, snake handling, such as that, and that's basically generic. In the organic version of science today, let's go to 2 Timothy 4:1-4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Proclaim the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall hate to themselves preachers, teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. When it comes to rightly dividing the Word of God, Miles Coverdale wrote, "It shall greatly help you to understand Scripture if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom, to whom, with what words, at what time, where, to what intent, with what circumstances, concerning what goeth before and what follows." Church, the body of Christ, when we see Scripture, we rightly divide the Word of God, and we understand what is meant for us instead of trying to reach on to somebody else's hope at another time, at another place, that belong to another people. I thank God daily for Ronnie and my Bible group, Cecil. We have in our midst, in our study, we have teachers like Ronnie, Cecil. We have preachers, artists, who preach and teach the Word of God. I'm not a teacher, as you can tell, and I'm not a preacher, but I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that the Word is true. And I'm thankful that through Ronnie's teachings and Cecil's and Artis, that we are extremely blessed to have them, and I'm so thankful to be a part of it. Thank you, Ronnie. And thank you all.